And we are talking about the new expungement law that took effect the first of this month. And basically, this will seal records contained in a court file, files of the Department of Correction, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, files of anybody who provided treatment under a court order related to the charge, and records relating to the person's arrest. There are four categories. Quickly. One category is just for arrest records. If you were arrested and were either found not guilty or the charges dropped, or you were arrested, found guilty, and the charges were dropped, or you were found not guilty on appeal. Okay, that's one category. And that one is the only category where you do not have to file a petition, and it has to be within 1 year, at least 1 year after the date of arrest. Next, all misdemeanors, including Class D felonies that were reduced to misdemeanors. The period is 5 years after the date of the conviction. 5 years after the date of the conviction. And you got to make sure in all of these and the other two that I'm going to read you that the period required by the section has elapsed. In other words, any things that you had to do under the sentence, that no charges are pending against you when you file the petition, that you do not have an existing or pending driver's license suspension, that you successfully completed the sentence, including any supervised release and any and all other obligations like restitution, fines, and what have you, and you have not been convicted of a crime within 5 years. So 5 years after the date of conviction for all misdemeanors and Class D felonies reduced to misdemeanors. Then for those convicted of any nonviolent felony, okay, that is 8 years. 8 years after the completion of the sentence, and again, you got to make sure that the period required by the section has elapsed, no charges pending against you, your driver's license is clean, you've successfully completed that sentence, and you've not been convicted of a crime within the previous 8 years. And then for violent felonies that are not murder, any felony that took a life, any sex offense felonies, any felonies that deal with sexual offenses that deal with children. Those are the only things that this does not cover. All other violent felonies, 10 years after the completion of your sentence, and then all the other obligations that I just told you about, you can go for an expungement. It is a legal document. It is a petition. And one of the things, if you want to expunge your records for a violent felony, the prosecuting attorney in your county has to sign off on it. And both legislators that are here with me, Representative Judd McMillan and Senator Greg Taylor, were telling me during the break that we were talking about cost. The cost could go up. The reason you need an attorney is on the most violent felonies that are not the ones that took a life, or that were sex offenses, or that were negative against children. The prosecutor could object. Then it's hearing time, and then that raises the price. But on the more simple things like the arrest and misdemeanors, you're really not talking about a lot of an attorney's time unless you're dealing with petitions in multiple counties. So this could be a few hundred dollars plus the filing fee. Is that fair, guys?
I don't want to speak for Judd, but I can tell you that if you have multiple filings, each filing
has some work attached to it.
The petition has to be accurate. You have to have records from the court. You have to research those records as an attorney. It's like we're filing a petition. There's a lot of time that goes in meeting with the clients to understand if the prosecutor objects, we could be going to a hearing. So there's a lot of time associated with that. And multiple filings, yes, will take a lot longer.
All right, back to the phones and Kim, who's been waiting patiently. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
While I was listening to the show this afternoon, I got an appointment. Hello, Amos.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hi, Amos. This is Kim.
Yeah.
While I was listening to the show, I had jotted down some numbers to call,
uh-huh,
and I have an appointment tomorrow with the legal aid down on Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have multiple charges that's way back in the 80s and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I'm asking, should I have my arrest record when I go see the legal aid person tomorrow?
If you got access to that, that'll help them.
So I heard that I could go to room T, I wrote it down.
644.
You 644 and get it free?
Yes.
Okay. All righty then.
Were all these offenses in Marion County?
Every last one of them.
Yes, listener, you can go to T644 in the city county building, and as long as your cases happened in Marion County, the information will be free for your criminal background check.
And it'll go all the way back to the 80s?
Yeah, how far back does it go?
Maybe like in
No, I'm the asking 80s. Them from the clerk's office. How far back do your records go?
In the 80s?
No, I'm asking them. You hold on.
Oh. Our records go back pretty far, so I'm sure we will have that information available for you.
Okay. Okay?
Okay.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for waiting. 239-1310, back to the phones, and Darren. Hi there.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question. I was convicted of a misdemeanor crime like 11 years ago, mm-hmm. and since then I haven't been in any trouble. Well, I was stopped. And I was told by the officer that I had a warrant, and I don't know that if he was on his way home or something, but he let me go. What do I need to do to take care of this problem?
Wait a minute. The officer pulled it up, said you had a warrant, and he let you go?
He let me go.
That must not have been a very serious warrant.
I was convicted of a misdemeanor domestic. Like 11 years ago.
But he didn't say what the warrant was for?
No.
Have you been arrested for anything since?
No.
Is your driver's license currently suspended?
My driver's license is currently suspended, but it's not for this charge.
Wait, that may be what the warrant is for.
No. It was from another state.
Okay, do you know what the warrant is for?
No.
Have you called? You probably need to call the police.
Okay. And see what I have a warrant for.
And see what you have. Or if you know an attorney, they could probably call on your behalf and find out what the warrant is for. It couldn't have been that serious if the officer decided not to exercise. Usually when the warrant comes up, you're supposed to arrest somebody.
Well, I was happy that I didn't get arrested, but I know that this crime, this misdemeanor, took place like 11 years ago.
I'm not as worried about the misdemeanor. You're fine, and you could apply for an expungement. The more serious thing is, A, you have a suspended driver's license, so that keeps you from filing for an expungement right now, and you got a warrant that you don't know what it's for.
Okay.
That's serious. You need to get that one taken care of.
Okay.
All
right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos.
How are you?
I'm okay. And you guess?
I'm fine. What's up?
Hey, listen, my question is, you know this law of concealment of record that you guys came up about 2 years ago or so?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I've already petitioned the court for the concealment of the record and got everything concealed.
Okay.
For a misdemeanor back in 2001
right.
that I had. Do I still need an expungement for enforcement purposes or a license to carry a handgun? So if the question arises on either one of the applications, have you ever been charged with a misdemeanor, I can answer that with confidence and say no.
Well, that's a good question. He went through the previous law, Senator Taylor, and got everything cleared. Where does he stand? Where does that stand under the new law?
I have the copies of everything.
Right, right.
And I hire a lawyer and everything that says that everything's concealed now. So I'm just asking.
The concealment.
Hold on.
The concealment only applied to certain restrictions that we had in regards to certain administrative people who couldn't see it, including your employers. And it does allow you to answer no on a job application as to whether or not you've been convicted. But this expungement, and I'm going to suggest that you do go through the expungement process, because the expungement pretty much it went further and more expansive than the concealment.
Especially for the firearm.
For firearms permit, especially in your situation, you're going to need to get the expungement. So I would suggest that you go back and get the expungement now.
Would that also restore his Second Amendment weapon right?
Absolutely.
Under Indiana law?
Yes.
Okay.
With the carry concealment?
Yes.
I have right now.
Oh, you already have that?
I'm sorry?
You already have that?
Yes, I already have that.
Okay.
Well, because you're not a felon. It's a misdemeanor.
It was a DUI.
Okay.
Yeah.
2001.
Sir, I would still go get those records expunged. I mean, I wouldn't. The concealment was good, don't get me wrong, but this is a lot better.
I appreciate that. Let me go quickly to Adrian, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there. Just had a quick question. I was trying to see how do I go about getting my record expunged. I called a theft was, well, receiving stolen property back in 2001, you know?
2001.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And it's been hindering me from getting a job.
All right. Was that a felony at the time?
Yes, it was a felony.
All right. Do you remember whether it was a Class D felony?
Class D and a C, you know, with the theft.
All right. Yeah. And this occurred when?
2001.
2001. Did you have to serve any time?
Well, by taking a plea, that let me have, probation.
Okay, how long was the probation? When did you come off probation?
My thing is that I did not do probation. I didn't correctly do probation. It caused me having to, run around with a warrant for a while, and then I went and, went and got it over and did my time in 2005 and did a sentence of 135 days suspended and, did 72 days and just been, free from it ever since.
All right. Do you remember when were you finally done with all your obligations from that incident?
December the 6th of 2006.
Of 2006?
Yeah.
You got another year before you can apply for, in other words, before you can go through this process. It has to be 8 years.
Ma'am?
8 years, yes, sir.
Did I hear you say you had a C felony as well?
Yeah.
That seems like a short period of time for a C felony charge, even on backup time. So you sure you were convicted of a C felony? Not D as in dog, but C as in cat.
Yeah, D. With a D in. I'm not sure.
You could have been charged for both. But pled to the D felony is what I'm trying to ask you.
Yeah, and the reason we're asking is there's different time limits
right.
based upon the offense and when you can file the petition.
Yeah. Okay, you said different time based on offense?
Yeah. Yes.
Ma'am, what you probably need to do is take advantage of the opportunity that Senator Taylor was talking about previously and get your record from the state police. Because if it is a C felony that you were convicted of, you've got that year and several months that Mr. Brown told you about to wait. If you were convicted of a D felony, you're eligible right now.
Right. That's why I'm thinking that I'm eligible right now. I might not know,
Right.
Everything right. So I'm going to take the initiative, just go downtown and get the police reports,
It's a good idea.
There you go.
All right.
It's definitely been hindering me for a long time.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after these. Back to the phones and Taylor. Hi there. Taylor? Taylor going once, Taylor going twice. We move on to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there. Anonymous? I think we need an expungement on AT&T's lines. Is that what we need? 239-1310, 239-1310, back to the phones and see if Shirley's there. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Shirley. I was calling. I went down to the city county building last week, and they had no... they said the legislature had wrote the law, but they didn't know how it was going to, where even to start it. They sent you to 641. Do you have any information on where you go for the expungement?
Whose office did you go to when you went down there 2 weeks ago?
I went to the city county building. I was getting a fingerprint background check, and I had called them on the phone. They said go to 641. I had called them on the phone. They said they hadn't had nothing in the system on how they were going about it.
So wait. You went to the sixth floor room, 641?
Uh-huh.
Whose office was that?
I don't know.
I don't think that's the office you go. What were you trying to get for the city county building?
I got my background checked. Now I'm trying to get find out can I think my whole record can be expunged.
Okay. Do you know what are you trying to get expunged? What was your conviction?
I only have 8 misdemeanors, and everything is 8 years old.
You have 8? Wait, 8 misdemeanors all from 8?
No, I only have 8. I have 2 8 misdemeanors, and they're all 8. Both is 8 years old, and I have a driving on suspended.
Okay. Based upon that, that's at least 5 years after the date of conviction, so you're in for that. You would need to start getting the information that you need, you would go to the Marion County Clerk's office. That's on the first floor. You don't need to go to the sixth floor, I don't think.
First floor.
Or is it T644? Is that the Myra?
No, the caller would go to T644 if she needed her criminal information. If she is ready to file the petition for this process, then she needs to come to the clerk's office.
Are you ready to file the petition, or you're not sure even how to file?
I'm ready to file my petition. I have a background check.
Well, here's the problem. You got to, in other words, in filing a petition, this is a legal document, and it's got to be done the right way from the get-go. One error kicks the whole thing out.
Oh, okay.
And it is, it's little things like it's got to be double spaced. It's got to be in what is called legal form.
Okay.
So you may have to talk to the neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic, or you got a church home, see if there's an attorney at your church.
Okay.
And speaking of pastors, church board members, heads of the deacon and trustee boards. If you've got some attorneys in your church who are licensed legal attorneys, y'all need to call a meeting of the attorneys in your church, see would they be willing to help your church members, pastors, not for free now, not for free, but to help you out. Pastors, get your church member attorneys, because some of your members need this service. Now, this is the church in action. Okay, so pastors, y'all listen to me. I may talk to some of the Alliance folks. Pastors, 10-point coalition pastors, you got some members who are attorneys, get them in gear. This is kind of how we help out. Okay, you got it, Shirley?
Okay, so I'm going to the clerk's office on the first floor in the city county building.
Yes, ma'am.
W-122, Shirley. Room W-122 is where you need to go.
W-122. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Back to the phones. And David, hi there.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Yes, I was wondering how can I get that my conviction expunged.
What were you convicted of?
Possession of marijuana. It's a D felony.
Okay, when was it? When were you convicted?
The beginning of 2011.
Okay, you got three more years. It has to be 5 years after the date of conviction.
So I got to wait 3 more years?
Am I reading that right?
Well, you said, did you say D felony?
Yes.
So does that mean that either you had a whole bunch with you or you had a prior?
It was a prior.
Okay. So then you got a misdemeanor. The important thing about that is, as we've talked about on here a couple times, when you go to do it, you need to make sure that you include both of those, because the last thing you want to do is get that felony expunged and then still have to answer for that misdemeanor on down the road.
Okay.
So when you go to do it, you want to make sure that you include both of them. You're eligible under the statute 8 years from the date of your conviction. So whenever you actually pled guilty, you're eligible for it. Now, as I mentioned briefly previously, if you can get a prosecutor to agree to let you do it earlier, and on something like this, this is something you could have that conversation with them about, you might be eligible to do it before 8 years. So try and take advantage of that, too.
But on something 2011, 8 years, you still got a ways to go.
Okay.
Unless you can get the prosecutor to cut, you know, to say, hey, I agree, you know, let's do this.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon.
Say, I got a... I'm gonna be brief with it, but I got a question.
Okay.
Okay. Say like okay. Well, I'm a victim of. I was arrested by the state, and in the process of that, the federal took my case.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. I served my time.
Federal or state time?
Well, this is what I'm going. It started off state. I mean, I went before the judge and all this here, but the feds came in and took the case.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I do my time in the federal system.
Mm-hmm.
When I come home, I somehow the state sent me to the VOA, but I had dual, it was like dual custody. This is the question. When my record comes up, the same charge I was charged with for the state shows, but I didn't do no, I mean, the state didn't, the federal judge said, the state judge didn't. And I still have that same charge on the federal. Now, that's my first question.
I think on that question, you're going to have to talk to an attorney. An attorney's okay. Got to figure that one out.
Okay.
We can't
this
answer.
This is what I'm saying.
What's the second question?
Okay. The second question is that there was another state case that the feds took over, and the reason that they took it over, because they put me in witness protection. Okay.
All right. I think on something like this, this covers cases where you were adjudicated or judged by a Indiana state judge. Who sentenced you?
Judge Foster, federal judge.
If you were sentenced by a federal judge, you're in federal, and this law does not apply to you.
Okay, but Amos, this is my question, though.
Mm-hmm.
I still have that on the state. I mean, you know, it shows up on my state criminal. I mean,
it will. No, a federal charge will show up on your state charge, on your state criminal history. But for the purpose of this program where you're trying to get the record expunged, you can't
exactly.
Because you were charged and convicted under federal law.
Okay. I understand that there. But what I'm saying is that what does it do? About the state? I mean, it still reflects on the state.
It doesn't matter. It's federal, and it's going to show up in the limited criminal history that state police do, even though it's federal. Am I right on that?
I don't know what the level felony you had, sir, but it seems to me if you have a cause number under the state cause.
Exactly.
You could get that exposed.
He could get the state part expunged.
State's part expunged, but not the federal.
But I think this is one of those where you have to talk to a lawyer, and this one's going
to
be a little bit.
You're going to have to go meet with the lawyer because you're going to have two separate causes. Probably, and you're probably going to have somebody petition and have a meeting with the prosecutor.
The state prosecutor.
Okay. So even though I did have some more that I wanted to file on, when it came to those particular cases right there, I wouldn't be able to make them a part of the package as far as trying to get my because I have a couple of more felonies on that one.
Yeah, you probably need to go meet with a lawyer and sit down and go through the whole thing is what I would do.
Okay, because these cases go all the way back to 1969. I'm a senior now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you really going to have to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a bunch of work for that attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't have a problem about the work. I just need to know, how I need to approach this.
Yeah, hold on. Judge McMillan, we're finding out. We're getting all kind of great cases today.
We are, and I think what this caller's problem does is it shines a light on this fact. We are doing this in Indiana because Article 1, Section 18 of our Constitution says that our penal system is to be founded on the principles of reformation and not vindictive justice. And I really think that we in the state of Indiana right now should be looked at as a leader of in the arena of trying to get people back on their feet, letting them be role models for youths out there when they decide they want to clean themselves up and to really help folks out. And we don't do that federally, and a lot of other states don't do it either. Mm-hmm. But if we are serious about making sure that the criminal justice system is about protecting people when they need to be protected and giving people the opportunity to get back up on their feet, more people in Indiana need to be doing this. Other states and the feds need to be looking at this.
All right. I appreciate the call, Anonymous. Thank you. I want to be respectful of Representative McMillan's time because he's got a date in a court way down the street. And I don't want any Wayne County judge mad at you.
I appreciate that.
So I tell you what, we'll take a break that'll allow you to duck out and make your court date on time. We'll continue the conversation. Representative Judd McMillan, the sponsor of this legislation, thank you very, very much. And we appreciate you coming in, and we appreciate that.
I really appreciate you having me, Amos. And if I can ever do anything to help with you on this in this regard, let me know.
All right. When we come back, we'll continue your questioning with the folks that are here, which includes State Senator Greg Taylor, Distinguished Attorney Rod Bohannon, Myra Eldridge of the Marion County Clerk's Office, and Carlette Duffy, who's been working on these things with the Southeast Multi-Service Center. We'll be back with more after these. Back to the phones, and Taylor, hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine. What's up?
Hey, Bill Crawford kind of touched on it. The third-party vendors, I'm a truck driver, and DAC services, they are notorious for pulling up stuff and putting it out there to the employers. So how does this affect, you know, as far as dealing with it? I've never really got a clear answer on, does that stop them from doing that, or how does that work?
Senator?
Let me say this. One of the things that was most important for us is we had already been through the concealment thing when we started talking about this bill. So we covered and wanted to make sure that we covered some of the issues that came up during the concealment. And this is one of those issues. Employers right now have to ask the question on job applications a certain way. They can no longer just ask the question, have you been convicted or arrested for a crime? It has to end with or has to say something like.
The actual says, have you ever been arrested for or convicted of a crime that has not been expunged by a court?
Right.
That's the question.
So they have to ask that question. And then they go forward. The statute also goes on to say that once you receive the expungement, you have to be treated. And the laws shall treat you as if you have never been convicted of that crime. That's important because employers who use that against you will be subject to injunctive relief. In other words, you could an injunctive penalty because you can sue them in a court of law, and all you have to do is prove that they used your expunged records and said that you were not able to get the employment.
Yeah, Taylor?
Yes.
The law, the second paragraph from the end of the law says that any person that discriminates against a person described in subsection A, which is all of this, what we're talking about, commits a Class C infraction and may be held in contempt by the court issuing the order of expungement or by any other court of general jurisdiction. Any person may file a written motion of contempt to bring an alleged violation of this section to the attention of a court. In addition, the person is entitled to injunctive relief. So if you go through all this pain and the expense of the petition and you get the records expunged and an employer comes and you apply for a job or whatever and employer says, I turned you down because I checked your record and you had this arrest and it was something that you got expunged, you take them to court. They violated Indiana law. They violated a court order.
Okay, now that, but like I said, now does that still, because we're, as a driver, you know, we're under the federal motor carrier regulations, does that still apply with them as well?
When you say federal notice, what are you talking about?
Federal motor carrier regulations.
It should, that's a good question.
Where's the company that you're located with?
Is it based in Indiana?
Yes, they're based here in Indiana.
Then it applies to them. Now, you do raise an interesting question. I know that the U.S. Civil Rights Office and the Civil Rights Commission is beginning to look at the issue in terms of the third-party vendors. And the question becomes that in terms of, because most of them don't have to read the record. They just simply pull it and send it. And so they raise the question whether they have an obligation not simply just go pull anything, but to go deeper in it and make sure that either A, the record has not been expunged, and B, if it's just been arrested but no further charge, make that known to the employer. Because what often happens, they just simply say, here's an arrest record. They don't go any further, say the thing with the Smiths, you know, the person's found out guilty, et cetera, et cetera. So the employer doesn't know. But this puts the onus on turning the employer in terms of not accepting the record as is, but have to do much further. And so I know that there's a whole discussion being done by the Chamber of Commerce. That I think they're doing workshops for employers saying how the statute could apply to them. But since the trucking company is located in Indiana, this is their base. They're incorporated in Indiana. This statute applies to them. Now, you do raise the question in terms of, you know, the federal statute. And the truth of the matter, I don't know how that applies to that issue.
I don't think there's any federal statute, correct me, that restricts you from being employed because you have a felony.
Well, yeah, actually, it is with the truck drivers. I'm not sure.
There may be a federal.
Well, certain felonies, but not all felonies.
But here's my last question too. Now I have my record sealed, so would I even need to bother to do this, or should I just, leave it the way it is?
Just like I told the other caller, I think you should get it expunged. And the reason why I'm saying is, I was part of writing both bills. This new expungement gives you more protection than concealment does. I mean, it allows you to answer no on the job application, just like we did under concealment. But it also goes further and gives you additional protection, and it also gives your employer additional protection, which is what we were looking for under concealment.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go.
Thank you.
Let me go quickly to Tammy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, good afternoon, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Like to say I love your show. I listen
Thank
to
you.
It every day.
Thank you.
I just kind of got in just now listening to the expungement. I did have my criminal history sealed last year in 2012. The Christian Legal Services helped me with that. But I did just hear a gentleman say go farther and get it expungement.
Yes.
Now, is there a fee for that, or is it the same process, or would I go to even get to that next step? I have it sealed, so how do I go about
It is a different process. It's a little more rigorous. It requires a petition that has to be done the right way, the I's dotted, the T's crossed, and there is a filing fee.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Senator.
And there is going to be, by the way, I want to make sure your listeners get this, on August the 6th at the Julian Carson Center on the second floor, we're going to have another forum from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Julian Carson Center on August the 7th. August the 7th. Did I say the 6th? August the 7th from 6 to 8 on the second floor. But let me say this to you, caller. Get the record expunged. You get more protection for doing the expungement than you do with the concealment. It was a step in the right direction when we did the concealment, but this expungement does go a lot further. And I would recommend to anybody who has had their record concealed to actually get it expunged under this.
All right. Thank you, Tammy. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes. I have a quick question. I got a felony back in 2008. The end of 2008, it was a low class D felony, and it was for, I believe, receiving stolen goods. And I'm trying to figure out, what can I do, because that's been stopping me from getting any kind of jobs anywhere, and that's the only thing I have on my record as far as juvenile, older. That's all I have.
All right, you were convicted in 2008, correct?
Yes.
When did you complete all the obligations of the sentence?
Everything. I was on probation for 1 year and had to pay my fines. I did all of that and got off of probation early because I didn't get in any more trouble or anything, and I paid off my fines and everything.
All right. So, Senator Taylor, that's a nonviolent felony because this wasn't a Class D felony reduced to a misdemeanor.
Right.
So you've got from 2009, 8 years. 8 years has to elapse.
Well, and but 2008 is what he should be, because it's conviction. It's from his conviction on the nonviolent D felonies from the date of conviction, not the completion of sentence. But let me tell you this, sir. We also passed a law last year that allows you to have felonies reduced to misdemeanors. I'm not giving you legal advice. Just remember I said that. Okay.
So you might want to talk to an attorney.
You might want to talk to an attorney, because if that felony was lowered to a misdemeanor, you would be eligible right now.
Okay.
So if you get my point.
Lowered to a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. Okay.
Hey, man, if I can raise another interesting question. I mean, you're having the prosecutor on this week.
It'll be on Tuesday, primarily to talk about bullying.
But it does seem to me that, since you've raised questions with the 10-point coalition and the ministers and stuff, and we're all concerned about folks going back to work and trying to get back to work, is whether or not the prosecutor's office has been geared enough to take a look at and try to review a significant number of the cases to try to figure out on the front end, are there folks who, you know, they're not the 8-year period, but they really have been cleaned. There's been nothing else coming up on them. Should they or themselves go back in? Nothing in the statute prevents the prosecutor's office to go on his own and make records and said, we got a whole class of folks that we think we should go in and ourselves said, reduce them down to a misdemeanor so they can get into the hoop and get them out of here. Mm-hmm. And this is specifically important when you look at now where it used to be, if you had a conviction, you'd be able to work in, you know, in the construction industry.
Right.
But the construction industry is now saying we're not taking folks with, you know, with convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the construction industry is claiming they don't have enough people. They can't find enough people to fill positions. And so given that issue, it raised the question in terms of minority employment in the construction industry, which is preventing them. It seemed to me there might be a discussion about the prosecutor's office about whether they may want to look at that issue.
Let me go to Karen, who'll be our last caller today. Hi, Karen.
Hi. This is for the panel. I wanted to know, I got arrested about 4 years ago for a stolen car, but I didn't steal the car. They actually threw it out, but it's still showing up on my record.
Ah, you're the one that you can file at any time. You don't have to pay the filing fee, okay? And
okay.
Because you're somebody that was arrested, and your arrest did not result in a conviction. The charges were dropped, correct?
Right.
Yep. And you
do I need an attorney to get it off my record, or how do I do that?
You might need an attorney, but this would probably be at the lowest cost because it wouldn't take an attorney all that much to file the petition.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cause I just need to get it off my record.
And is that right, Myla?
That is correct. All you have to do is file your petition in the clerk's office in room W-122.
Don't have to pay the filing fee?
There is no $141 filing fee. Our hours are from 8 o'clock a.m. until 4:30 p.m. So whenever you have the time, feel free to come on downtown to the city-county building.
But the kicker is...
Now, what's the room number again?
W-122.
But the kicker is...
122,
But the kicker is that petition has to be filed, has to look a certain way, has to
That's
be
correct.
Written a certain way, that the spacing has to be a certain... It's sort of like that term paper you never got to do in college. But you got to do it.
I've done the term papers in college.
Oh, this
wasn't right. You got to throw back at you.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, this is like real world college.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you. It'll probably be Monday because I want to make sure that we attach on our website the actual copy of the law, attach the information that the Marion County Clerk is doing, make sure I got all the room numbers. So at the first of the week, you'll be able to, if you missed any of the program, pick up the program as well as some of the information and links to that. We want to thank State Representative Judd McMillan, State Senator Greg Taylor, Rod Bohannon, outstanding attorney, Myla Eldridge, the wonderful person at the Marion County Clerk's Office, Carlette Duffy from Southeast Multi-Service Center, who's been working on this for forever and a day. And there's going to be, I know you're doing, you all are having a United Way is doing something. When is that?
August the 28th, but I don't really know the specifics on it just yet. All right. I'll give it to you so you can put it on
the Monday. And I know the Black Legislative Caucus is doing one from 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, August the 7th at the Julia Carson Government Center. They'll be answering your questions. Attorneys will be there and what have you. And it may be tomorrow. I will convince my Friday friend he needs to really be an Indiana licensed lawyer. Then he could help the community out filing these petitions. Senator Taylor would love that. And would help lower the price. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1:00.